Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 9, 1 through 11. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not this man's sin or his parents, but the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who has sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. He anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as he was begging were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "Is it he?" Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I'm the man." So they said to him, "They know. Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." I feel like I'm in the elevator. Just wait. Okay. We probably heard the phrase, seeing is believing. Okay, good. Now, I used to think my vision was pretty good, or at least I could trust my own eyes, but then, you know, they have these documentaries and shows that just challenge everything that you believe about life and yourself. There's this great show called Brain Games that's on Disney Plus, if you have that one. And it's a show about how our brains work. And many episodes are about vision and how we, you know, seeing how we actually see. It's mind-blowing. Did you know that how much, just guess, how much can you actually see in high definition? What size can you actually see anything in high definition? Our eyes can only see the size of our fingernail in high definition. Our brain is making up or compensating for all the rest. I know this is real. I see like people with just shocked looks on their faces. Wow, right? You may be wondering, why am I talking about this? Well, you probably wonder that a lot. But this passage from John this morning talks about seeing, it talks about vision. It's a simple healing miracle about a person who's born blind, who gets the vision restored. But it uses the idea of seeing and the healing miracle of Jesus to teach an important truth. It displays to us that the same problem is maybe true for us too, that our vision, though we think is tip-top, maybe is not so good. And it's not our physical sight that might be the problem. It's our vision when it comes to how we view our lives, our issues, our problems, that when it comes down to it, our vision maybe is not so good. That we see events, hardships, challenges in our life, we're not just needing glasses, so to speak. We're blind, really just as blind as the person in the story, and we need a miracle. We need God's help. We need to have our eyes open just like this person, our eyes wide open. Eyes open to see the events of our lives through the lens of God's love and God's grace. Simply put, I think this passage helps us have a better view of so many of the things in our life we have trouble making sense of. Suffering, loss, pain, and the list goes on. So when we see these things that are difficult in our lives, we need to remember these three L's that I've come up with today. Look, let, and long, all right? Number one, which is, all right, we're good. So our brains are good, our eyes maybe, but our brains are good. Number one, look for blessings, not blame. I know I do this, and I do this very quickly. We play the blame game when things are not going the way that we hoped or challenges come along. Anybody else want to raise their hand on this one? Want a biblical example? Look no further than Adam in Genesis, right? You ever read that story in the beginning where all of a sudden God says, you know, what's going on? He's like, it was Eve. You know, he blames Eve quite quickly. The man said, "The woman you gave to me, the woman you put here, she did this." He blames her. You know, I wouldn't have done it, but you gave me this woman. She led me astray. Like, the blame game happens quite quickly in the Bible. But for open eyes, for wide open, then we need to train our eyes. We do this by practicing to see the positives, the blessings, the joy, even in the hard situations, because we really only see a small part of the problem. Sometimes the problem is so close in front of our faces that's kind of all we see, but there's more to it. What may look like a big problem may not be a problem at all. If we take a step back, we can see how things turn out. There's so many great examples of this in life. Bill Gates' first business failed. Jay-Z, who's a rapper, couldn't get signed to any record labels, and now he is Jay-Z. Stephen King's first novel, one of my fellow Bangorians, rejected 30 times. Oprah was publicly fired from her first television job, and J.K. Rowling was a single mom living on welfare when she wrote Harry Potter. Sometimes we rush to conclusions, and if we want to experience joy in our life, we need to control the one thing we can, and we can control our attitude about all of it. We see in this passage there's a glaring contrast between the positive attitude of Jesus and the different examples of negative attitudes that are around him. Right off the bat, we see the first group that needs an attitude adjustment. It was the disciples. The disciples turn to him and say, "Oh, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" This was a big moment for the disciples. They're trying to show off that they know what's going on. It was believed that the consequences of sin was either parents or grandparents, whatever was happening to you was happening because someone in your family had done something and it brought it down onto you. So illness was a consequence of sin in their understanding. We see this in the book of Job. But the disciples, wanting to flex their theological muscles in front of their rabbi, start making all these different assumptions. They knew his blindness had an explanation, and they knew it was because of sin. They just wanted to, kind of see whose sin it was that caused the problem. But so often in the gospel, the disciples are the ones we connect with most. And the thinking of the disciples finds its way into our thinking. And sometimes we can excuse or make sense of life problems by saying, "Well, it's because I did this or didn't do this. If I had just taken them to church more, if I had prayed more, then this wouldn't have happened." So to have our eyes opened widely, the next time we have a problem in our life, rather than looking for someone or something to blame, which can be our default, we can see from this passage there's another option instead of blaming. Because Jesus responds how? He said, "It was not this man that sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." See that Jesus is saying your underlying assumption is way off. You're looking at this narrow, specific way. Let me open your eyes to a wider view. Here we have a specific instructions from Jesus himself on what to do when we're faced with a problem. What we can do is let God open our eyes, to see it as an opportunity to let God display power and love. This is the blessing we can focus on instead of the blaming. And it's so sad, it's kind of a sidebar here, that the disciples, instead of feeling any sympathy for this person who was born blind, right, they just kind of want to get to the root of why he is. It's so sad. It's like if you were in a car accident and you're bleeding in the ER and you feel if the doctor came in and they wanted to talk to you about the Greek word for hospital or, the meaning of how stethoscopes work, like you're bleeding, you're like, "Stethoscopes work this way." I'd be like, I don't care. Help me. That's exactly what they're kind of doing. But it would be irrelevant to somebody who's in pain. We don't always need to know why problems occur, and that's what Jesus is saying. On the great TV show, Hee Haw, Doc Campbell is confronted. You didn't think I was going to go to Hee Haw today. He's confronted by a patient who says he broke his arm in two places, and the doc says, "Well, then what? Stay out of those places." The blind man in the story of the gospel didn't need to know why he was blind. He just wanted to be healed. If we let God open our eyes wider, we stop maybe not asking those questions on why these things are happening. Why did God let this happen? Why are these things? They're not bad questions, but if we focus on them, then we're kind of getting in the way of letting God bless and move in the situation. Our time can be more efficiently spent doing the work that Jesus calls us to do, telling the good news to the lost, being the light instead of cursing the darkness. That the healing in his blindness was healing him not just physically, but spiritually. Jesus continues answering the disciples in this. He says, We must work the works of him who sent us while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. We're called to be blessings to others. And when we can do that, it's because it's not night anymore. So Jesus is with us in the world right now, and so there is light by which to see the world as God wants us to see it. So when we find ourselves in the middle of a big mess in life, maybe there are or someone you love is there, maybe one who is coming or has come. And let us not get distracted in life trying to solve the puzzles, and in doing that we fail to stay busy doing what God called us to do. God will add his strength to our little strengths, and unity, as Carl was talking about, being unified and pulling in the same direction. So number two, let God work outside the box. This will help us open our eyes and see situations differently if we begin to see how God works and accept, no matter how crazy or out there it seems to be. We need to tune in carefully to see how Jesus performed the miracle in this man's life. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva, and he anointed the man's eyes with mud. Anybody read that article about the pastor? I think he like spit into the people's eyes, right? And they were like, he's like, I'm so sorry. It was a crazy story. But it's as crazy as this, right? Jesus spit on the ground. He uses saliva, puts mud, and he puts it on the man's eyes. Now, you would think that Jesus would just, Jesus heals a lot of different ways, right, in the scriptures. It kind of brings back the memories of my mom and grandmother, right, when things are dirty. The old thumb, and I do that, and my wife gets so angry. I'm like, just don't worry, I'll get it right here. And she's like, don't do that. Bad habit. But it makes sense, right? It's like, I'll just clean that off right there. Jesus can heal in a lot of different ways. But he could have used words. He could have done all these different things. He could have simply touched the man's eye. All he had to do was say, you're healed, and it would work. But he did something unusual. He did something that was kind of unexpected. As people who follow him, to have our eyes wide open, we can't expect God to solve problems in the way that we would solve them. God has a way of doing things that we've never dreamed of. His imagination, ingenuity, resources, intelligence are unlimited. That's why it says in Luke 1:37, for God, nothing will be impossible. The only thing that limits God is our lack of faith, but even then, he still does in what he wants to in his greatness. But there are ways that we can limit God because we want him to fit into this mold. It shows us the way we tend to see God and how God is bigger than that. The limits we've made, we limit his willingness to do might in our lives. There's a great book called Your God is Too Small by J.B. Phillips. And it's a great book because it says all these different ideas we have about God and kind of says God's bigger than all these different ideas that we have about God. And so we have to always be ready to let God do God-sized things. Give God room to do the unexpected. This is the God of talking donkeys in the Bible, the God of parting seas. And we just have to trust in his abilities, place our life in God's hands. It's so important. Some of the Pharisees said, later on in 16, that this is, this person's not keeping the Sabbath and all these other things about what Jesus was doing, and because they wanted God to fit into this narrow box. But God is always ready and willing and ready to work outside of those ideas, and the Pharisees are always the ones who are trying to put him back in. We need to have faith that God can work outside the box. There's an amazing story about this Westside Baptist Church in Nebraska. And there's usually choir practice. Hey, choir up there. It's on Wednesday night, and they tend to be early. And well before the 7:30 start time one night, this is 1950, one by one, two by two, they all had excuses for being late. The church pianist overslept after her after-dinner nap, which happens. One girl, a high school sophomore, was having trouble with her homework, and so she was late. And then they had to, all 18 choir members, including the pastor and his wife, were late, all for different good reasons, and maybe not so good reasons. But at 7:30, the time the choir rehearsal was to begin, no one was in the choir loft, and they had never happened before. But that night was the night in the history of the church that the choir wasn't starting practice at 7:30. It was the night that a gas leak in the basement of the Baptist church, the whole choir would have been killed. God works in big ways, right? It's amazing. That's not a coincidence. Mysterious ways. And that's how God usually works. But sometimes when we are looking narrowly or we have our vision needs to be open, we don't see that God can do in amazing big ways. And the last technique is long. Long for God, for who God is, not just what God can do. This helps as we battle an idea that God's kind of a genie, that God sits up in heaven and kind of grants wishes. But to have our eyes open, we need to look to worship, love God, not just for what God does for us, but just who God is. We see in verse 7, he says, go wash in the pool, and the Hebrew word means sent. It's extremely important that we don't make the say things that it isn't, but this is so true. He sent him to the pool to wash his face called scent. And while what he was doing was because he needed to wash his face because you can't see with mud in your eyes, right? That's in, like I think it's a very simple explanation of why he sent him there. He had mud on his eyes, and he sent him there to wash his face. It wasn't the dirtiness of bad stuff or bad acts or bad deeds that Jesus wanted to wash from his eyes. He's already made him perfectly clear that the person, his blindness wasn't direct result of anyone's sin. I think he's saying to wash out this negative view of life. Not only did the disciples and the religious leaders need an attitude adjustment, but so did this guy who was healed. And if we're honest, we all do to varying degrees from time to time. I think the clay Jesus uses in this passage represents the mud in all of our eyes. It's the dirt and the attitude of way of seeing the world that says, what can God do for me? You see, the blind man had an even greater need than being healed from blindness. He needed someone to show him God's love, that God loved him still. We have more important needs in finding solutions to our problems. As my seventh grade science teacher said, don't sweat the small stuff. Everything is the small stuff. The problems, the grand scheme of it will fade. It doesn't feel like that, but then they do and they will. But in the grand scheme, the more important thing is our relationship to God. And we see that in this passage. The miracle wasn't over until the man trusted God and by faith and worshiped him. It wasn't complete until he had a relationship with God through Jesus. The plan of God is not just to solve our problems. The plan of God is to worship by living lives of praise and service. We are created to serve God. It doesn't matter if God decides to answer one of our prayers in this way or that way. If we fail to worship God in all that we're doing, then we miss the point. We place our trust in God and not just what he can do. When we have our eyes open, we can see and trust and know that the greatest resource for solving our problems is just being connected to God. And something amazing happened in the story, not just to the man who was healed from blindness, that was amazing, but his life, the way he lived, the fact that he was healed began to change the hearts and minds of the people around him. The fact that the man's eyes were opened the eyes of others around him to see the power of God, and that's what it's all about. Family of God, we cannot trust our eyes most of the time. Science tells us this, but God in the scripture also tells us this. But this story about a blind person whose life was changed and the disciples who were blind about sin and their view of sin, and our lives can be changed if we let God open our eyes wide and see that we can see challenges, hardships, and problems as they pop up in our life. We can see them looking for the blessing, not the blame, letting God work how God wants to, and longing for God, not for just what God can do for us, but who God is. Then we can see a new light in the light that is Jesus, who was and is forever will be the light of the world. So let's just pray to have our eyes opened. Amen. Amen.